Good afternoon and happy new year. This is the annual conference call for the Greater Philadelphia Health Action. My name is Brian Clark, the CEO. Happy new year once again. I haven't spoken to you all in a year. Hope everyone had a blessed holiday. We will start with the statements that are completed for the quarterly filings through September 2022, and then I'll give you an update of where we are pretty much through November, how we're trending for the end of the year. Those statements, we're going to start on the activity report. Through September 22, our number of patients, were 89,171 in comparison to 90,799, so just slightly down in patients. And our visits through September are 217,000 compared to 244 through September 21. So that's 2017 and 22 versus 2044 and 21. The material difference there is 21 was the height of COVID. And the pandemic, patients were coming in by the droves for tests, for vaccines. During that time frame, thank goodness, the virus has gotten more in control with some minor upticks in our region, but mostly under control. We don't have patients coming in asking for tests, as a lot of folks are either not getting the virus, or if they get it, they're doing home tests, or they're not getting tested at all. And clearly, with the number of folks that have been vaccinated, we don't have the demand for our vaccination services. So our visits spiked in 2021 of about 30 or 35,000 above our normal run rate. We basically are back down to where we were previously, prior to the pandemic. The next page are our statement of revenues and expenditures. At the very top is our total grant support at $15,187,386. Revenues at $54 million, what I call revenues from operations, that's patient fees, daycare, 340B pharmacy, and miscellaneous income at $54,191,313, giving us a total of support and revenues of $69,378,699. And again, that's through September. In comparison, at the same time, our expenses were $53,582,549, giving us operating income of $15,796,000. A couple of notable things when we go to the next page. We compare our actuals to budget or even the actuals to the prior year on the following page, is that actual expenses, payroll specifically, that was purposeful, that's intentional, that's our effort to attract better tech employees and keep the ones that we want to keep. The labor shortage is absolutely having its impact on us as an organization, especially in this region. And there is a reluctance for new people to come into the healthcare field, mostly at the what I'll call entry-level field. That's front desk, security guards, medical assistants. We've absolutely seen a reduction in the amount of interest in applying for jobs within our organization, but with the hospital partners, with other health centers, we're seeing that across the board. On our third page, we're looking at statement of revenues and expenses with our budget versus actuals. And our total revenues are minus our grant support, our total revenues from operation, about $1.4 million up in revenue, with our patient fees down slightly, $38.4 million compared to $39.1 million. And our pharmacy revenue continues to grow rather nicely. We're exceeding those by $2 million in terms of our budget. Our expenses, as I mentioned before, are up $53.5 million compared to 52 for the budget that we started the year with. So about $1 million up in our expenses compared to 1.4 million up in our revenues. And again, a large part of those expenses being up, almost all of it, has to do intentionally with us increasing our salaries and our benefits in an effort to retain and recruit. Our operating income compared to budget is $363,000 over budget through September. And that's being driven again by the increase in revenues, which is primarily from the surplus we have from pharmacy and more scripts being filled. Us as an organization capturing more scripts, meaning when we write a script, a patient can go anywhere, and we work pretty earnestly to convince them to use our pharmacy. And that's why that revenue was growing, more patients getting there. Pharmacies and pharmacy scripts from us is the driver of that. The next page is a look at prior year, how we're performing versus prior year, year over year. And you can see that our grant support, what we've drawn down so far through September, is $2.7 million under the prior year. And that's predominantly as a result of the stimulus that we received during 2021 in comparison to 22. Total revenues are up $2.4 million compared to prior year. And again, that's all being driven by more pharmacy revenue. And our expenses in total are up $5.6 million compared to prior year. And again, more than half of that, so about 75% of that, is being driven by an increase in salaries that we did in 2021. Last page is our balance sheet. Our current assets are $65,622,656. Our long-term assets are $29,866,609. And what you'll see that's notable is our cash on hand at $11,430,690. Next, so it gives us a total rather revenue of $98,489,265. Our current liabilities are $7,998,000. Our long-term debt is $46,921,000, giving us total liabilities of $54,919,995, and a fund balance of $43,569,310. That's through September, and that's still trending in that direction. I'll give you some insight on where we are through November as we are closing out the year. With our encounters, our encounters, again, are in line with before COVID. Encounters are in line with where we were prior to COVID, what we would expect, and quite frankly, what we can handle. We are going to come in somewhere in the neighborhood of $35,000 encounters, shy of where we were in 21, all as a result of less COVID visits, but in line with where we were in 19 and 20. Our revenue projections through November, not projections, actuals through November, excuse me, grant and revenues from operations are $80,794,000, with expenses of $64,459,000, with an operating profit of $16,335,000. And we believe that that's how, once we close out December, in a couple of weeks. That's how the year will pretty much end out. By all accounts, a very strong year financially, and a year that is less hectic than where we were back in 21, more in line with where we were in 19 and prior. We're in a good place in terms of our services. Patients continue to want to be seen. Our wait lists are, I say, healthy, meaning in the healthcare business, you want to be able to look out weeks and still see your schedules full, which is an indication that you have the right number of providers and staff. And we're making some adjustments, as I mentioned before, about around pay, around benefits, time off, tuition reimbursement. All these things are geared to improve our as we are in this patch of recruitment or struggling to recruit folks to our business. We recognize, and this is slightly before COVID, but COVID sort of put a spotlight on this issue, that we need to be very competitive, more competitive in terms of what we pay and our offerings to employees in total, the total. So we've made those adjustments, and we are seeing an uptick in interest. We do have quite a bit of our staff working from home, those that can work from home since COVID. Symptoms allow them to stay for to again improve their work-life and allow us to retain retention. Even our providers, when they can, do telehealth visits, and sometimes they're at home. Most of the times they're in our buildings, but the patient isn't here. That's gone over rather nicely. One thing I did fail to mention to you, we are last year in 21, we were 48% of visits were telehealth. This year, we're at 39% of visits being telehealth. That's still a pretty substantial number of visits that are telehealth, and that is mostly all medical and dental visits that are driving our telehealth, our medical and behavioral, excuse me. Our dental visits are face to face, but our behavioral health visits with our therapists and psychiatrists are significant telehealth visits, as well as our medical. Telehealth has been a savior for our business, and it has allowed for patients to continue to receive their care without coming in. One of the barriers to healthcare for the demographic we serve is transportation, literally getting here. And it's not that we are far from where they live. It is that given their socioeconomic status, getting to a doctor's visit at times can be a challenge for a myriad of reasons. And knocking down that barrier to travel or to have to travel, to have to come into a health center, to have to wait, has actually improved our schedule in terms of the patients showing up for the visit, because they don't have to, when they're telehealth mode, they don't have to physically get here. They just have to pick up a phone or go to a computer, and they can get their needs met, and we have the ability to refer and prescribe and deliver their scripts to them. So with that, I will pause. I recognize we didn't have anyone on the call, but I suspect folks will listen to this recording later. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. And this concludes the annual call January 31st, 2023 for GPHA. Thank you.